Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host Macaulay and Matthew, I am, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing? Mac, are you here?
Hey, man. Can you hear me now?
I hear you loud and clear.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good, man. Glad to have you on the show. Glad to have you on, as always. And, of course, I'm glad to have you on as well, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening to this episode. And, breaking news. The controversial Robinson Cano, Edwin Diaz trade is official, barring failed physicals. So, as a result, Mets would acquire the 8-time All-Star, former Yankee, former Seattle Mariner, along with his teammate Edwin Jackson, who's going to turn 25 in March. He led the league with 57 saves, second all time, tied with Bobby Thigpen. But we'll get into that momentarily, I should say. The Mets give up their second top prospect as of right now was Jared Kelenic and Justin Dunn, who's a pitcher. He goes into the deal along with Bautista. He had a little cup of coffee with the Mets. He didn't pitch that well, and as a result, the Mets are also going to get back $20 million along with Cano and Diaz. So I'll give you my thoughts on this trade momentarily. But also on today's show, I'm going to talk about the Cano trade, the Knicks with a surprising come-from-behind victory over the Bucks, the Jets and Giants, and the current state of WWE. But most importantly, I want to hear from you guys. Do you think this was a great move or not? If you want to talk about any of these topics or more, feel free to talk about it. If you want to talk about the Wilder and Fury fight, you could talk about that as well. I'm here for you guys. And, of course, you guys all know the numbers is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. But, let's get on with the show. And what else is there to talk about? Let's dive into the Cano trade. And as you all know, there's pros and cons to this trade. Obviously, the Mets are getting a 8-time All-Star in Cano, a former world champion, and a guy who still performed well after his PED suspension. And obviously the negative side of it is that last year he was suspended 80 games because of the aforementioned PED, getting caught with PEDs. He did hit over 300 in the 80 games that he played, which was an aberration because that was his first time ever getting caught, and prior to that he always plays the field. He's always healthy and he's always on the field, even though there has been some issues of him hustling, at first, in the past. But the glaring problem with it is that Cano is 36 years old, and as we all know, Mets have a big negative history with acquiring aging players, especially second basemen. Roberto Alomar, Carlos Baerga, Juan Samuel. You name all these former stars that Mets have acquired that were supposed to, you know, jolt the Mets offense and provide speed and defense, and all those guys have even, you know, they've all failed. I mean, even Jeff Kent. I mean, Jeff Kent, you know, he started his career with the Mets, but he got traded, and then, you know, the rest is history. He became a Hall of Famer with the Giants. So, I mean, Mets have a lot of horrible histories with acquiring second basemen over the hill. I mean, that's obviously a – and then not to mention, you know, his lack of hustle at times, you know, running to first and all that stuff. So, yeah, the biggest problem with Cano coming here is he's obviously 36 years old, you know. And then the other negative about the Diaz trade, which is only one thing, really. Diaz, you know, obviously he's 24 right now. He had the best year of his life this year, you know. No arguments about that. He had 57 saves, blew four saves. But he hasn't pitched in New York. So we don't know if he could handle the pressure of being in New York. You know, it's a little bit different, you know, pitching, you know, in the Northeast, especially in New York. So that's that question mark. You know, he's young. You know, that's a positive. And, you know, comparable to the other pitchers on the free agent market, like Kimbrel and Miller and Adam Ottavino from the Rockies. There's another Familia. You know, he is getting acquiring this young guy. You're going to get a bargain out of the production he made this year. And obviously it's going to be a lot for him to duplicate a similar performance like that. But Mets would settle for that. You know, anything close to what he did this past year. But it's a risky move. I mean, Brody Van Wagenen did prove that, you know, he's not a typical GM. He looks like he stands by his word that, you know, the Mets are a win now team, that they're gonna make bold and crazy moves like this. So the jury's still out on this move. I mean, especially with Kalenic being involved in this trade. This guy is supposedly a bona fide superstar. This guy could hit. And, you know, in a few years, Mets are going to regret that trade because this guy's going to be good. Dunn, his ceiling is that he's going to be a top three pitcher. I mean, they were saying the same thing about Matt Harvey, you know, when he was coming up and Matt Harvey became an ace. But then again, he could be a dud too. Who knows? I mean, but we'll see what happens, you know. It's a gutsy move, but the most important thing, this cannot be the only move that they make. They have to sign a catcher, whether it's Ramos or even Maldonado, even though he can't hit, but he could throw people out. They definitely got to sign some relievers like Miller or David Robertson. They definitely gotta spend the money. And if you're getting $20 million back, you gotta reinvest it in the team. You know, go after somebody. You know, like even there, I see a Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, somebody who can, you know, resuscitate this offense. They can't sit on their hands and not do anything else because there's a lot of problem that this team have. What's your thoughts on this trade?
Well, I mean, it's a ballsy trade. You know, it's risky, a lot of risk with it. You know, as you mentioned, Cano, he's not a young guy anymore. You know, he's 36 years old. He's not in his prime anymore. You know, he could still hit, could still field a bit. You know, he had the issues with the performance-enhancing drug where he was suspended last year. But he can still help a team like the Mets. You know, and the Mets get Diaz, one of the best young closers in the game, which is a plus because that's going to, you know, strengthen their bullpen. You know, and they don't give up much. I mean, they gave up Jay Bruce, who, you know, didn't do anything yet last year. I mean, I know Kelenic, he's supposed to be like a top prospect, but who knows, you know, if these prospects ever turn into like, you know, stars, you know?
Right.
Usually it's all hype with these guys, but then they, you know, most of them become bust anyway, so.
Absolutely.
So you don't know what you're going to get. You'll just have to see, but. Mets didn't give up that much, you know, for these guys. So, yeah, I think right now it's a win for the Mets. Long term, it might be a win for the Mariners. You know, we'll see. But I agree with you that Mets definitely need to do. They need to make more moves. This can't be their only move because there's a lot of different positions that need to be strengthened and filled. You know, for this team to compete next year. You know, they definitely have to go after Bryce Harper or Machado. And right now, it's sounding like Harper might go to the Phillies. Machado, who knows? You know, I know Yankees, people are still talking about the Yankees, but who knows if that even happens. I'm hearing Phillies also, or maybe he resigns with the Dodgers. So who knows? But I think Mets should definitely go after one of those two guys, and they could also go after Britton or Robertson to add to the bullpen, or even some starting pitching like Eovaldi or Keuchel.
Keuchel,
yeah.
Spend
the money.
I'm with you. Like Britton would be a perfect setup guy. You know, Miller obviously. You know he could do it. I still think Mets should sign at least two of those guys. They gotta sign, you know, either of these two guys. You know. Britton, trying to think, Kelly,
yep.
Miller, Robertson. They need at least two, you know, setup guys, you know, to to set up the seventh and the eighth, and even be an insurance if Diaz can't you know perform, you know, in New York, you know, with the pressure. You know, I mean, you know, he had a phenomenal performance. I mean, only K-Rod when he was with the Angels had a better save, you know, record with 62
right.
Back in the days. So, I mean, you know, Diaz, you know, he's going to have a lot of pressure on him. I mean, obviously he's a closer, so he should have that temperament. He has the stuff to do it. And, you know, so They definitely gotta, you know, improve this bullpen. They did make an improvement by subtraction by dealing away Anthony Swarzak, who, you know, prior to coming to the Mets, he had some good years being a setup guy, but you know, he regressed. You know, he was horrible, and then you get rid of Jay Bruce for the second time, you know. He's going to Seattle. He gets to try to resuscitate his career in the American League. You know, best of luck to him. And Mets got to use that $20 million that they got back in this trade and make some moves. But yeah, the big, like you said, it's a win now for the Mets. You know, because they get back Cano, who I still feel has like 2 or 3 years left on him, barring injury. And then of course you have Diaz, who's a young guy who's making less than $1 million off the performance he had. So that's a steal of a deal right there. And the Mets got to improve the starting pitching. I know there's rumors of them trading Syndergaard, which makes absolutely no sense to me. If they're a win now team, they got to go after Keuchel or Eovaldi and, you know, make the moves, man. They desperately need to win a title, man. They haven't won since 86. Like, that just reminded me. My younger sister, she was helping out kids as a sub-para. And basically she told them about the teams I root for. And the kid literally told her, is your brother okay? I mean, seriously, like, that shows you the state of the teams I root for. Mets, Knicks, Jets, you know, Rangers. I mean, like, all of these teams, you know, they've had success, decades of past success, but these kids are too young to realize it. All they have is Yankees in their eyes, man. Yankees is the only New York team in the eyes of these young kids. They don't know the history yet. So that's why it's imperative that the Mets change the culture. And hopefully this will be the first sign of the Mets changing their culture and being a win-now team, because they desperately need to win a title, because 2015 seems like 10 years ago. And what was the last time the Mets went to the World Series before 2015? 2000, which was also 15 years ago. So the Mets better get their act together, or else 2030 is going to be the last time they get to the World Series. So I'm cautiously optimistic, but there are some warning signs. You know, can Cano stay healthy, and will they, you know, make some moves? And, you know, we'll see what happens. So, you know,
well,
hopefully the Mets will make some moves.
If they trade Syndergaard, you know, they better get something, some hitters, you know, in return. You know,
well,
some
young
hitters in return for Syndergaard, you know, so.
Yeah, because there's rumors that they want to trade. The strongest rumor is with the Padres, but they don't want to give up Fernando Tatis Jr., you know, who's their top, you know, their top prospect. And, you know, Mets obviously shouldn't trade Syndergaard for you know, anybody other than the people's you know, top prospects. And to be honest with you, you know, I'm a fan of Syndergaard. There's no way they should trade him, to be honest with you. So they gotta you know, use the money that they got in this trade and drastically improve this team. I mean, Van Wagenen, you gotta give him credit. You know, he made a bold move, but this can't be the defining move of his tenure. And another thing is, he's being criticized throughout the league because they felt he had all the leverage. You know, being Cano's former agent, and
yep.
Also the Mariners were desperate to dump Cano's contract. So they got fair value regarding the prospects that they got for the, you know, getting Diaz. You know, you would think they would have been able to do a move without giving up. The Mets would have been able to do the move without getting off Kalenic, but I'm guessing Kalenic was the key of the trade for the Mariners to make it happen.
Sounds like
because.
It.
Jeff McNeil was originally in the trade rumors Friday night, late Friday night, and then afterwards they took out – the Mets got Caulfield feet and took out McNeil in the last moment and substituted him with Bautista. So, you know, right now I'd say it's a win for the Mets, and if the Mets win a title, you know, God willing, which, you know, the odds are strongly against them in the future, you know, for them winning in the future – but the time is now. The pitching is you know, winding down. Their control of these young pitchers are you know, slipping away. They gotta win now while they have this young pitching, and improve on it, build on that strength.
Well, this is
what happened with them.
I mean, this trade definitely helps them. You know, it gives you a veteran second baseman who can hit. You know, I think Cano. You know, he's still going to be a good player for you guys. You know, I could see him, you know, batting 290 to 300, getting, 25 to 30 home runs, driving 90 to 95 RBIs, which is going to be a good season. You know, Cespedes comes back healthy next year. Then you got two guys, you know, that you could bat, you know, 3 and 4 in the batting order. And then you have to build around those guys. I mean, I know you don't want to trade Syndergaard, but, you know, if you do trade Syndergaard, you can get a lot back in return. And then you have the DeGrom, who's your best pitcher. You know, you could try to sign like a Keuchel or an Eovaldi. You have that second guy behind DeGrom still. You know, so Mets right now, Mets are in a good position. They could play around with some pieces, and they could make some moves this offseason to improve this team. You know, so well, you know, we'll see what they do. But you know, I think it's right now. It's so far so good with this trade.
Yeah, I'm being cautiously optimistic right now, but history says this is going to be a bad move. But I'm going to see what happens, and hopefully they can get more pieces around it and seriously go after it. One team on the other hand in New York that we know is definitely going to go at it, you know, go hard every offseason is the Yankees. And the Yankees are the favorite to get Corbin, who, like Bryce Harper, grew up a Yankee fan. So I think you could definitely pencil him in pinstripes.
Something like that. Well, they did meet with him on Thursday, I heard, which went pretty well. But I think it's either going to be him or it's going to be Evaldi. Sounding like.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Or maybe even both, because this is the Yankees. Yankees don't care about no luxury tax. For the most part, other than these most recent years.
I hear that, you know, they might, if not Evaldi, they might bring back Hap. I thought Hap, I mean, Hap
was
good in the regular season. Yeah, he played, I would love him back and Corbin.
Yeah, he was
so,
really good.
Yeah, so if we could bring him back, that'd be great.
Yeah, that is another guy I wouldn't mind the Mets going after too. But, yeah, I definitely see Yankees getting two of those guys.
Yeah,
for sure. Because the biggest weakness of the Yankees was that starting pitching, and you know, obviously the guy is not hitting in the postseason. But the Yankees, you know, the Yankees are a few moves away from getting them back to where they need to be. So I definitely see them signing Daniel Murphy at first.
It's a possibility, you know. That's because right now. I mean, Machado and Harper, you know, it doesn't seem like that's going to happen. They're going to be coming to the Yankees. Harper is probably going to re-sign with Nationals, or he's going to go to the Phillies?
No, I don't see him re-signing with Nationals. Phillies all the way. I see Machado and Harper going to either Phillies or the Yankees. Those are the two honest opinions that I could see. Like you did say, you think Machado was going back to Dodgers. I could see that as well.
Yeah. You don't think Harper is going to resign with the Nationals?
Nope.
Why is that?
He's done. Because, you know, they've been favored to win the NL, the National League East and the National League, you know, being a contender, and they've always fell apart. I mean, even dating back to 2012 when with the whole Strasburg debacle, you know.
Right.
They're resting him before the playoffs. I mean, that didn't make no sense whatsoever. If you wanted to rest him because of the innings, rest him in the beginning of the season and then make him start the rest of the year, and you would have had him for the playoffs. That was the worst pitching move since bullpenning and Jabba rules. Like that to me, that was a horrible decision, which basically cost the Nationals of being a potential championship caliber team.
Right.
Back in those days. So
I think if they offer him the money, he'll take it though.
No, but I heard that turned down $300 million before the season ended. That's the rumor.
Really? Wow.
That's the rumor I'm hearing. I mean, I don't know if it's true.
That's a lot of money.
But, yeah, apparently he turned it down. I think he wants to win. You know, I think he wants to go to the Yankees or Phillies, you know. I think he's done with the Nationals. I'd say there's a 1% chance of him going back to the Nationals, to be honest with you. I don't know the guy, but that's just the vibe I'm getting. But switching gears, the Knicks, man, they've been playing better. I mean, they did lose prior to today. They lost a few games. You know, this week. But prior to last week, they were winning. They were on a 3-game winning streak. And today they had one of their most unlikely wins. Earlier this year, they had a surprising win against Celtics in Boston, and they're going to be playing Celtics again later this week. But yeah, man, give them credit, man. They came, they overcame a 14-point deficit, and there was a bunch of whispers of should they trade Kevin Knox, should they trade Frank Ntilikina because these guys are busts, you know. And for one day, Kevin Knox, man, he woke up. He thought it was the summer league, you know. This guy, he had literally his best game since the summer league, and he scored 26 points, and you know, he had four assists, four rebounds, and a block and a steal. And you know, give the guy credit. You know, he manned up. He showed up and had the best game of his career. And you know, Trey Burke injured himself. You know, he's being hurt, recently hurt in trade rumors. But you know, he didn't play. And Ntilikina was expected to play, but they didn't play him. But Moutier and Dotson had you know, pretty good games. Moutier, he had a phenomenal game. He had 27 points, and you know, he had a three that tied the game, you know, late in the fourth, you know, which led to that that comeback that they had. And bottom line, man, he had a good game, and as well as Dotson, he had 18 points, and basically, you know, they were able to hold on. 136 to 134, I think, was the final. And you know, what can I say? They did their thing. You know, they held back the Greek Freak, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo, call him Antetokounmpo, whatever you want to call his last name, the Greek Freak. You know, he was phenomenal as always. You know, he had 33 points, 19 rebounds, and 7 assists. You know, he almost had a triple-double. But, you know, luckily the Knicks was able to hold on and get this victory. So, kudos to the Knicks.
It was a great win. You know, it's Moody has been playing well, you know, since he's been in the starting lineup. I'm very impressed by Vonleh, Noah Vonleh. This guy.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty good forward for us, man. He played some good defense on Giannis. So
mm-hmm.
I think this team, you know, they've got a lot of young talent right now, you know, and a lot of grit. You know, they've been playing well these last 10 games, you know, even though prior to this game they lost. They had that bad loss in Philly. But, you know, they're still young right now. They're 8-16, which is not bad, you know, for the Knicks. Compared to last year. So you got to be patient with them right now. And, you know, they got to lose games. They got to win some. But, I mean, they could – in the East right now, they could probably make the playoffs as an AC maybe. It's, I mean, it's possible.
Yeah, that's how crazy the East is, you know.
Yeah, LeBron's not there anymore, so, you know.
Exactly. So you never know. But they got to get themselves back to 500. Before they could think of playoffs, like before Jim Moore pops out of nowhere and be like,
playoffs?
Are you kidding me? but all seriousness, you know, it's good to see the Knicks get this unlikely victory. So you know, we'll see what happens with the Knicks. You know,
yeah.
You know, hopefully they could build upon this. Let me see what else. Yeah, the Jets and the Giants, man, they're you know, they've been having horrible seasons, man. The Jets, you know, they're going to be in Tennessee against Titans. And, you know, I think it's going to be another L for them, man, unfortunately. What's your thoughts, man?
Yeah, you know, it's last week against the Patriots. I mean, it was close in the beginning, but.
Yeah, it was.
You know, Patriots just took over in the second half there. But this week, you know, the Titans are not a great team, but they play well at home. Their defense is not bad, but yeah, I mean, it's going to be another tough game for the Jets, I think.
And absolutely.
Do you think they start Darnold this week instead of McCown?
I don't think so. Because I mean, he's been injured these past couple of weeks. I don't think they should, you know, like start him and make him get injured. You know.
Yeah.
You don't got nothing to play for, but.
True.
Then again, you never know. He hasn't played in like I don't know how many weeks.
It's been a while. Can't remember the last time he played.
Yeah. So I would start McCowan. I mean, they don't. It's not. There's no. He is questionable for Sunday.
I think he'll play though. McCown hasn't played terrible, you know. But he's just a team overall. They haven't played great.
Yeah, they don't play good. They haven't played good at all. You know, I mean, there's literally nothing you could say about this team, man. They've been horrible, man, and you know it's gonna cost Ball his job at the end of the year.
Could be. That's very possible right now, the way it's looking.
Here's a quick little trivia. Do you know what the Jets' name was prior to changing their name in the 60s?
Highlanders.
Nope.
No. That was Yankees. Yeah. I should know this, right? No, then again, I shouldn't know this. I'm not a Jet fan.
I give you 10 seconds.
Wow.
10.
Pilots?
9. Nope. Pilots, I think, was the Mariners, I think. The Mariners name, I think.
The Titans. Yeah, the team that they're facing. Right, right. They were the Titans of New York. Right.
Yep, the New York Titans, correct. You are correct.
Right, okay.
So they're going to be facing their former namesake.
Yeah, that's funny, right?
This time in Tennessee. It'd be like the Jets facing the Winnipeg Jets of hockey. But all seriousness, you know, hopefully the Jets won't fall 3-9, but that's exactly what it looks like is going to happen today. You know, well, I should say tomorrow. And then on the Giants side, you know, they're gonna be hosting the Bears, and you know that's gonna be a tough matchup. Even though Giants are gonna be home.
Yeah, Giants. They lost in Philly last week. They had played well before that. You know, they won
the two games in a row.
Yeah, and the offense has looked much better these past few weeks. And in Philly, it looked like we were gonna win that game, but in the second half.
They blew it.
The Eagles just made adjustments, and the Giants couldn't do anything on the ground. You know, they couldn't pass. You know, the Eagles' defense tightened up, and we ended up losing. So, hopefully this week will be.
Yeah, and Saquon Barkley was a non-factor. They didn't even give him the ball as much in the second half.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you also have to give credit to the Eagles. The Eagles adjusted, you know, and they didn't allow the Giants to even, like, run any, you know, running plays, force Eli to have to throw it more, you know. So hopefully that's, you know, they'll do better this week against the Bears. But the Bears have a pretty great defense right now, you know, and they've been playing well this season, even though their quarterback's injured. But it's going to be another tough test for the Giants. But hopefully we could squeak one out, squeak a win. We'll see tomorrow what happens.
Yeah, I'm with you. And lastly, let's go to WWE. Man, you know, the state of the WWE, you know, of course, they had the controversial Survivor Series was it last week or 2 weeks ago? And basically they had like a few good matches. They had you know, Ronda Rousey defeating Charlotte Flair. In a non-title match, obviously, Ronda Rousey is the Raw champion. Charlotte Flair replacing Becky Lynch, who got injured because of the Nia Jax punch in that, SmackDown invasion of Raw a few weeks ago. And it was a great match. But unfortunately, I think they ruined that match because Charlotte Flair had no reason to turn, you know, to attack her with the kendo sticks. Like,
mm-hmm.
if they were going to use that angle, they should have, one, made Charlotte Flair look like she was really being dominated by Ronda Rousey for her to lose her cool and attack her.
Right.
Because she just gave up that match. She lost that match for no reason. Like, it was a match she still could have won. So
yeah,
they could have done a much better job with that.
Yeah,
I had no problem with the attack afterwards. I mean, it showed a different side of Charlotte. You know, she took a page out of Becky Lynch, and she showed that mean streak that she needed to finally actually get the fans behind her for a change. You know, because she's horrible as a babyface, in my opinion. She's a much natural heel. So her having a mean streak, you know, heelish mean streak, I mean, it fits her character, which is what they should have done with Charlotte Flair years ago.
Yeah.
You know.
I agree.
And then this week, it's like the reunion love fest that Becky and Charlotte Flair had, you know, before the match. It's like WWE forgot that storyline, that they buried the hatchet. And Charlotte Flair said she's gonna, literally said she's doing it for Becky and the brand, but then on SmackDown she was like, "Oh, I didn't do it for you. I did it for me." I'm like, WWE, do you know that you just do your own storyline? I mean, come on. I mean, come on. And then afterwards, you know, the other major match that I saw on the Survivor Series was Brock Lesnar, the Universal Champion, defeating Daniel Bryan, the WWE champion. And when the match was first going on, it was a slow, typical Suplex City type of match. And then once Daniel Bryan, you know, did the low blow kick, that's when the match started to go on. And then they had a legit competitive match, which it was a lot better, because up into that Suplex City matchup, which was like shades of the John Cena match Brock Lesnar had years ago, it was like, oh, come on. I was like, come on, man. You're not going to let Daniel Bryan lose like this. Like, this is a dream match. Like, come on. Like, make him have an effort. Like, to make him lose like to him easily like that, even though he has a huge size differential on, you know, Brock Lesnar has a huge size differential on, you know, Daniel Bryan. But, you know, the match picked up after that low blow kick, and it was really, you know, a really impressive match, you know, at the end of the day. But, you know, I think it would have been a more competitive match overall if Daniel Bryan was a good guy. He would have had the fans behind him and just willed them to that victory. So that could be an interesting rematch if Daniel Bryan becomes a face, you know, again.
Yeah, and definitely want to see a rematch, you know, between these two, you know, even though, you know, the match was a good match between them at Survivor Series. But definitely want to see a rematch, maybe something more brutal, you know, like a cage match.
Yeah,
know,
absolutely.
Down the line.
And now let's get down to the current state of WWE. I mean, what the heck is going on with WWE, man? Like, it don't make no sense. They had like, they had the next, you know, week after Survivor Series, they make the Raw team sweep SmackDown 6-0, but yet they clearly forget that in the Survivor Series pregame show, you know, the SmackDown team actually won the pre-show, so it should be 6-1 as New Day argued about it. So I'm like, if you're gonna make a huge historic sweep of SmackDown, shouldn't there be continuity? I mean, it just shows how you know, messed up WWE is right now. Like, the past couple of Raws have been brutal, like brutally horrible. Like, you know, AOP's manager Drake Maverick peeing on Bobby Roode's robe. And then, of course, that shades of him peeing on himself, I think, on Survivor Series against the Big Show. Yeah, right, exactly, against, you know, when it was Big Show and the Bar. I mean, it don't make no sense what's going on with WWE right now. Like, Raw has been really horrible, and Baron Corbin is the top heel. Now he's aligned himself with Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre. I mean, Baron Corbin has had more, has been, you know, on the show more than anybody, and that's suffered. That's why Raw is suffering right now. It's brutal.
Yeah, and sometimes I can't even remember what's happened on Raw after I've finished watching
it. Same thing. It's the same thing. It's the same thing over and over again. I mean, WWE needs a SOS, man. It's horrible, especially Raw. Raw is really horrible. Like, Raw has been raw sewage these past couple of weeks. Like, they really need to get their act together, man. I could spend literally a whole episode on how horrible it is, but, you know, time's up, man. So, you know, I want to thank you, Mac, for coming on the show.
Yeah, definitely.
And I want to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to Sports of the Legend. I'm William Rameau, and I'll see you guys next time. Peace, guys.
Peace.